I just wanted to follow that up. Going back to Romans 1:20, where it says, "For since creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things." That word "things" is very important, because that word "things" is where we get our word "poem" from, poenia. And it actually, it has the idea of a masterpiece. Mm-hmm. So creation is his masterpiece. Mm-hmm. It's the same word in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship. We are his creation, his masterpiece. Mm-hmm. Both poems, first creation, new creation, both poems are celebrated in the verses that we read in Revelation 4. And again in Revelation 5. And so, talk about origin. They're from him. They're created by him. They're created for him. That's purpose. They're his masterpieces. The first creation is his masterpiece. And as Christians, we are his masterpiece. Now, that's going to fly in the face of the world that we live in today. That purpose. If you create something, if you write a poem, you write a poem for a purpose. But he's written, that's where we get our word poem from, poenia in the Greek. And he's written a poem. In creation, he's written it. In new creation, he's written it. And it's for a purpose. And he is still the author of both of those poems.
And just add two references in John's gospel. In John 4, the Lord Jesus met the woman at the well, and they started talking about water. And you're nodding your head. Would you please, you go ahead and do that, Stephen. Take the microphone and elaborate on that for us.
I was going to say that when we look at that in John chapter 4, it's obviously addressing the Godhead because it's speaking of the Father in that instance. And let me see if I just had it up here a second ago. In John chapter 4, when he's speaking to the woman in the well, at the well, he is talking about the Father.
23?
Yes. 24? In verse 23, "But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him." And, you know, this is speaking about the Father, but it's speaking particularly about purpose. And that is that we look at to see, you know, what is our purpose here? Why has God created us? And it's very interesting to see, that God the Father is seeking. It's, obviously he knows everything, but when it's saying seeking here, it's like he's actively taking an interest to be able to take us into that relationship. And the secret to that all there is worship. And that's why it's very critical for us to worship in spirit and in truth.
That's really nice. I was actually thinking a little earlier, but that's such a helpful passage as well. The woman, when she first heard the Lord Jesus speaking about water, and he spoke about living water, water that would be inside of her, springing up as a fountain of living water within her. She said, "That's the water I want. Give me this water so I don't have to keep on coming back here and having this water that I have to come and get every day. That's the water I want." In chapter 6, the people are having a conversation with the Lord Jesus about the bread that Moses gave in the wilderness, and the Lord Jesus says, "Well, Moses didn't give that bread. My Father gave it to you from heaven," and he gives the true bread from heaven, the bread that comes down from God and gives life to the world. And the people say, "Lord, evermore, give us this bread. That's the bread we want." And when we don't have a sense of where meaning is going to be coming from, meaning and purpose, where do they come from? What's their origin? Then we will find something that seems to give us some kind of meaning. But all the while, we are still hungry and we're still thirsty until we realize what that what it was that the Lord Jesus said to that woman, made to worship the Father. All the gods that the nations worshipped were so distant, and you just hoped to keep them happy. And the God of the Scriptures says, "I'm here. I am immanent," with an A in the middle. I am everywhere. I am so complete to fill the entire universe, and yet I want a relationship just with you. And that was what God intended for the relationship with Adam and Eve. He came walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and sin ruined that. But it's what God wants for us. And to have that sense of that's our meaning and purpose, that's very, it creates a great sense of dignity to every human being. And for the believer, we actually can enjoy it.
We have to move quickly. Right. So we have origin, mm-hmm. purpose, mm-hmm. and now the question of morality, the question of right and wrong, the question, and it's sort of self-evident from Romans 1 that when you don't have the first two right thinking about origin and purpose, then morality becomes a wishy-washy, you know, whatever you do feels good, whatever feels good, do it. Mm-hmm. But what we have is the fact that we have the originator, the one who created all things, the one who tells us the purpose for which all things, he also has communicated to us what is the definition of how we ought to live, of what is right and what is wrong. You know your Bible stories, right? The Bible stories that we know is that Moses went up into the mountain and received the Ten Commandments, and then he received the whole volume of the law to dictate and to direct how the children of Israel were to conduct themselves and live. And so, you know, you have skeptics who say, well, why don't you do that today? Why are you wearing linen and cotton or whatever it is that, you know, you that was prohibited? And they make a mockery of it to try to alleviate understanding how God has communicated his law. He has communicated to us how we ought to live because what did he tell us? I am holy. And so if you're going to be in relationship with me, if you're going to understand your purpose and your meaning, you have to also understand my character. And understanding my character, I am holy. And so I impress upon you the necessity for you to walk in a holy lifestyle. The Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 22 sums up what was in the law and the prophets. I'll just hit that up with you and then we'll move on. He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength. And you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On this hangs all the law. He distilled the Ten Commandments plus the 400 plus instructions that were given from Mount Sinai into those two points. Love the Lord your God and love the neighbor, your neighbor as yourself. And I just want to tell you, that's the guidelines for morality. That's the moral compass that is developed from a biblical worldview. Love God, love my neighbor as myself.
There's a verse in Psalm 14 where I think kind of comes to the opposite of that. So seeking the Lord and seeking our neighbors, that is where morality comes from. Psalm 14, fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. And verse 3, they are all gone aside. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. So an absence of God just... it's you. There is no morality in you. There's the impossibility of doing anything moral or good without having knowledge of God.
And I think this is going back to the point with John 4. We see this in the woman at the well. She went back to her origins. She said, "Well, our fathers say," but that wasn't far enough back. Right? And her morality, she'd already been with five men, and the one that she was with now wasn't her husband. And so, the Lord touches on that. But you see that the point that we're drawing out here is where there is no, when we lose sight of the origin and the purpose in which we are created for. And he mentions here, going back to this point, that the purpose in which we are created for is to worship God. That's the purpose in which we're created. And they had brought it down to a human level, and the Lord Jesus brings it back up to a higher level. He brings it back to the original level. He brings it back to origin. He brings it back to, as we've had before us, the underlining purpose, and at the same time touches the lack of morality that's there. And so you see, that's a great illustration of what we're saying.